for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, December the 26th, 2010. John Rothacker is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Holy Nutrition, Part 2.
Brother John will come again tonight. Brother John Rothacker from Columbus, Ohio.
Amen.
And I've got you in Ohio and out of Minnesota, thankfully. I keep thinking he's in Minnesota. We really appreciated the word that the Lord had for us last night. And we just need to hearken and hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in and out of the cold, too, isn't it? Tonight, I'd like to begin by sharing with you from a very familiar psalm. Probably all of you know it. Psalm 23. This is a wonderful word. There's much truth here. And let's look at some of it tonight. Father, we come to you to look into your word tonight and to hear from you. And we pray that your anointing, your spirit would teach us, Lord, would illuminate our minds, our hearts, our understanding, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as Paul wrote to the Romans, that you have give us faith in order to bring obedience to the faith. Lord, we pray that we might have that heart and spirit of obedience to what you show us, because we know that whatever you do is for our good and for those around us, for our loved ones, for a lost world. We thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathways. Now, Lord, just bless all of us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, it's wonderful to have the Lord, the only Lord, as our shepherd, isn't it? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know, many years ago, I had a brother contact me. His wife was suffering with cancer. And he asked if he could come over and talk with me. And I remember praying that morning before he came. And the Lord directed me to this psalm. And he directed me to these verses I've read here, where it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. And he impressed me that that is saying to us that he's concerned with what we eat. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he's concerned where we eat. It says he leads us beside the still waters. And so when this brother came, I shared this with him, and he received it and asked me if I'd minister to his wife. She was then suffering with cancer, and she was in the hospital. And I went and shared with her. The problem was that they were older. Their children were out of the nest, and they were both working. And so consequently, after the day's work, and they could afford it, they went to a restaurant and had supper every night, you know. And it was killing them. I talked to them about the sugar, you know, the white flour, things of that nature. And that the beverages that they're drinking are made out of city water, which has fluoride in it, which is a deadly toxin. Now, let me just say, as a dentist, that's not the way I was trained. I was trained that fluoride was good and prevented cavities, but I was deceived by the system. And later, it wasn't until years later that when I came into health that I went to a meeting and they were talking, and I never forget, they were showing a film strip on cancer, the politics of it, and the science of it. And I went, and that day God had given me a scripture out of the one I shared last night in Exodus. And it goes on there later on in that chapter, and where our bread is cursed. He said, if you do these, I will bless your bread and your water. And I was sharing with them where our bread was cursed. And I could tell it was a secular meeting. They weren't Christians. And, you know, you can tell a lot of times when you're sharing whether it's going in or whether it's just going over the top. And so when I got home, I prayed and I said, Lord, open the eyes of the understanding of everybody there tonight about what I shared, how our bread, you know, that scripture, I will bless your bread and your water. Well, he immediately opened my mind. I didn't realize I was praying for myself, but I was in the crowd too, see. Whereas I had shared with them about how our bread was cursed, they had shared with me how the water was cursed. They'd given me some material when they found out I was a dentist on fluoridated water. It's very toxic. John Yomianis is a PhD biochemist that I used to interview quite frequently on the radio station I used to be associated with. He wrote a book with another scientist that proves over 10,000 deaths a year due to fluoridated water. And it's called The Fluoride, the factor, the book. So I was, they had just given me this information, but I hadn't read it yet. So when I prayed that prayer, God opened my understanding that the water was cursed. And then I took the literature they'd just given me and started to learn the truth of the scientific facts about fluoride. Fluoride is a deadly toxin. There were used to be battles. There still are in some cities over fluoridation of water. And some localities have won the battle. But if you know, if you're realm in the political realm, there's a lot of things going on where the enemy is able to deceive. Just take our nation. Our whole nation is deceived about so much in the political realm. And when the forces of evil get a hold of the means of communication and the teaching and the writing, it's really difficult to overcome. I remember having a book on fluoride that I mentioned and giving it to a Christian physician years ago. He gave it back to me about a year later. He was scared to even read it. Why? Idolatry. Most people, their profession, their jobs are an idol. It means more to them than God. If the choice comes between losing that job or serving Jesus in some pure, righteous way, they go the way of the flesh, the way of the labor. That's idolatry. Anything that you hold is more important than God is an idol. And John mentions in his little epistle, the last thing he says, little children, flee, keep yourself from idols. Idolatry is prevalent in the body of Christ, and there are many things that can be idols. Our families can be idols. God, that's another whole thing I won't get into, but God had to deliver me years ago from idols. You can have things that are natural, things that are good, the desire for children and wife and normal relations. But if it means more to you than God, it's an idol, even though it's good. God needs to be and wants to be and deserves to be first in everything. Well, anyway, I shared with the sister. We went to the hospital and her husband, and I shared the truth with her about God being concerned about what she eats and where she eats, and that they needed to repent and change their ways. Well, they did. Praise God. They quit eating out in the restaurant, and God healed her. The cancer went away. She went back to work, and everything was fine. Many months later, it was probably a year or so, I was up showing this film strip on World Without Cancer to a preacher's wife and another couple up in Sunbury, a little town north of Columbus. And that morning, the Lord had given me a scripture from the book of Proverbs that I shared with them. I said, I don't know who this is for, but I got this scripture that the Lord led me to this morning for somebody that I'm supposed to share it today. And it says this in Proverbs chapter 3. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Immediately the preacher's wife spoke up and says, I know who that's for. And she mentioned this sister who had been healed of this bone cancer months and months before. She said, you know, she's back in the hospital suffering with bone cancer. She'd gone back with her husband eating after God had healed her and delivered her and set her free. She went back to eating in the restaurant. She died of that painful disease. And her husband died from that painful experience. Or not died, but suffered the loss of his wife. You see, these scriptures are so real and so true. It says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That was a living word to her and her husband. It had brought healing. Don't eat this junk. Don't eat what's causing you to have this cancer. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Her bones were suffering, but they didn't heed it for long. For a while, till everything goes well. And that's so true of many people, isn't it? God delivers us, and then we go back to our ways. Psalm 23, as I was reading, it's so precious there. You know, there's another aspect of in that psalm the Lord gave me sometime later, and that is, how many of you realize when it says he makes me lie down in the green pastures, how many of you know what sheep are doing when they're lying down in green pastures? How many of you know what they're doing? A few of you. Sheep and cows, they're called ruminants. They have four parts to their stomach. They ruminate. They chew the cud. You heard me when I read the scriptures last night about the animals that are clean chew the cud. They eat grass, then they go lie down, and they bring that grass up out of one part of their stomach and chew it over and over again. This is the way clean animals eat. Now, what's that to do with you and I? Well, we're supposed to chew the cud on the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In chapter 14 here, I'm going to turn to it in my book, Holy Nutrition. I encourage you to get it. I can't share everything in this book with you, and some things I'm going to share aren't in the book, but I share a little bit more about this Psalm 23, and what I want to bring out to you is some information I read one day by Dr. Nan Catherine Fuchs. She's a PhD nutritionist, and I used to get her newsletter. I still get it occasionally. And she wrote this about chewing your food. She says, chewing your food well is the single most important thing you can do for your health. Now, this woman is into health. She's into selling nutrients of various kinds, doing a good job as a nutritionist, bringing health to people. But think of that statement for a while. Chewing your food well is the single most important thing you can do for your health. Now, sometimes if you've lost a lot of teeth and you can't do that, you might use a blender to chew it for you, a food blender. But another thing that can help tremendously in your health is food enzymes. Getting food enzymes that help you break down the food and digest it properly. But Dr. Fuchs says this. She reports that, quote, I've seen women who do it, that's chewing their food, she's getting them to slow down and chew their food, get dramatic reductions in their allergy symptoms. I've seen their energy levels rise and blood sugar levels normalize. I've seen their nutritional deficiencies completely go away. I've seen the complete elimination of heartburn, gas, bloating, and constipation. And I've even seen women who struggled with their overeating suddenly find that they are eating normally and not binging. You know, that's quite a list of wonderful things to experience. All free. Just have a little more fellowship. It'll take a little more time at the food table. And chew your food well. You see, digestion starts in the mouth. You've got salivary glands here and here. And these salivary glands are always putting enzymes into your mouth. And it's designed when you start chewing, they start mixing and start digesting food right in your mouth before it ever gets to the stomach. And if we just gulp it down, you're bypassing some digestive process there, and you're not going to get everything out of the food that you purchased that you want, your body needs. So let's slow down and chew your food well. Okay, kids? Amen. Amen. Okay. You learn that out of Psalm 23, where God says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, you don't want God to have to make you do things by putting you away or putting you in a hospital or putting you in a sick bed. It's better to hear the word of the Lord and to respond yourself, isn't it? Instead of letting and making God have to do that. But we could all tell you testimonies of people that have had to be laid up in different ways by the Lord before they learn certain things. Amen. That's just part of our human nature. I think I'll turn over to Romans here. I want to give you another word along this line. It's a little bit heavy in some respects. Some people might find this different. But go to the book of Romans, chapter 11. I think we'll find it. Romans 11, and God is saying here that certain people of the nation of Israel had obtained that which they were seeking, verse 7 of Romans 11, but the election had attained it, but the rest were blinded or hardened. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber or stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear until this day. And David said, and he's quoting here Psalm 69, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. That's a heavy word. This is a warning from God that if we don't heed His word and aren't obedient to what He's teaching us, our table, what we eat, is going to be a snare. A snare is something, you know, that they hide and you don't know it's there. And an animal or a bird, you know, they use it to catch birds, to snare them. You don't know it's there until it's too late and you got trapped. Your food, what you eat, is going to become a snare or a trap. That's a little different way to catch an animal. Traps often use bait, don't they? You bait up a trap. I got little mouse traps at home in the garage, it seems like, and especially in the winter, I get these little critters come in from the neighbor, and I got a nice little one where a little thing where they put peanut butter in there, and every once in a while I go out and there's a mouse that's been caught in my little trap. You use bait, you use something to get them. I don't care where you go, what meal you go to in most places today, and church meetings are the worst. There's things there to trap you. There's things there that are bait to your natural taste buds that you've probably been trained to eat and accustomed to eat that are going to trap you. You need deliverance. Thank God you're here in a place of deliverance. But your food can be used as a trap. And this is what God's warning to us here. It will be a trap if we're not being obedient to the Lord and seeking His face. He also says here, it'll be a stumbling block. It'll cause you to stumble. People put things in front of you deliberately at times. The devil will see to that, to cause you to stumble and fall. I've got a particular sister who always is saying, "Oh, just try it. Just try this. Just take a bite." How many of you have people like that? But I've learned that if somebody offered you a cigarette, would you take it? You wouldn't have any problem saying, "No, thank you. I don't smoke. I don't care for it." You don't have to get mean and nasty. You just politely refuse, right? If they offered you a cigar, you wouldn't have any problem. If they offered you drugs, you wouldn't have any problem. Why should we have any problem if they're offering you some kind of a food substance that's a trap, that's bait, that's going to cause you sickness, that you've learned is wrong and harmful to your body? Why not be able to say no thank you? I learned that years ago when I was just learning this process. I was at a sister's house and she was fixing up some special soup. She said, "I'm fixing some soup here. Would you try this? Taste this. See what you think of it." Unfortunately, it had some pork in it. But I was young in this. I was just learning this. So I just took a spoonful to taste it. Boom! I got hit right between the eyes with this terrible pain. It had to be supernatural. Things don't happen that quick in the natural. And I learned the lesson that when they offer you something you know it's not right, you politely turn it down. Amen? Don't let your food, somehow your table, be a stumbling block. And then the fourth thing there, it says, a recompense. What's that? That's when you're going to get paid back for your sin. It may be sin of some nature, nothing to do with food. But God's going to chasten you, recompense through what you eat. That's what He's going to use. That's what the Scripture is saying very clearly. Their table shall be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense. I don't know about you, but I don't want that in my life. Amen? It's too much of a joy to be healthy and to feel good and to be able to claim the promises of long, healthy life. Amen? Praise God. But this Scripture is both Old Testament and New Testament. This is for us, beloved. Last night I mentioned a couple things that are good that they're telling you not to eat that would be applicable to the teaching there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where they're going to be saying, don't eat these things. I mentioned, I think, last night? I think I maybe mentioned salt and eggs, did I? Look in Luke. I'll show you a scripture here that I can apply something here. I think it's in Luke 11, where Jesus is talking. In Luke 11, he says, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. That's a wonderful truth. These scriptures here are saying that Jesus is calling bread good. There are people, you see, today teaching you shouldn't eat bread. The problem, of course, with bread is what kind of bread is it? Is it made the way God ordained it, out of the whole grains? Or have they stripped that wheat berry, for instance, of all the nutrient and fiber and minerals, lipoproteins? The wheat berry has over 50 natural vitamins and minerals, lipoproteins, nutrients. When they refine it, how many do you think they take out? All of it. 100%. And then they put 3 to 5 cheap synthetics back in by state law, and they call that enriched. You've all seen rich flour. 50 taken out and 3 to 5 cheap synthetics put back in, call it enriched. Now, if I took a $50 bill from you and gave you a $3 bill, could I convince you you've been enriched? It'd be pretty difficult, right? And yet, it's being sold to the masses of the public every day. The stores are filled with enriched, quote, flour that's been robbed of all these nutrients, vitamins, minerals, fiber, lipoproteins, all this good health. So that's the kind of bread that Jesus is talking about. In that day, they didn't have refined flour like we have today. Then another thing he says here are fish. Naturally, this would have been clean fish. I've been over to Israel a couple times. They have tilapia. Somebody was asking me about that. And that's a clean fish. It's called St. Peter's fish over there. The trouble is it's raised today in farmers, in pens. It's not out there eating like God wants it to eat. They create pens in the lake, even some salmon. When my wife and I were up in Nova Scotia years ago, they had these great big nets out into the bay there in the Atlantic Ocean where they fed salmon. They had them in nets, and they fed them feed, you see, that has been altered, pesticides, coloring. That's what they feed these fish out there. They're not wild. If you're going to be healthy and want healthy salmon, get wild-caught salmon that are out there eating what God designed for them to eat. There's a difference, a mighty important difference. So Jesus talks about, though, that fish, they weren't messing things up in his day like they are today. But fish, clean, has fins and scales, that's good. The third thing he mentions there is an egg. Jesus calls eggs good. Years ago, it took a while. I eat lunch often Mondays with some other ministers. And this one brother had come into this vegetarian spirit. He didn't believe in eating meat, and he was reading this and reading that and convincing. And another brother and I brought him the scripture where eggs are good, fish is good. He didn't want to see it. He started quoting other researchers and things that he'd read. What was the problem? The problem was, you see, what I'd mentioned briefly last night is this giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He had another spirit giving him this revelation. And so it took this other brother and I praying, and it took a number of months, but it wasn't long, praise God, as we prayed for him, just kept loving him and being patient with him. But he finally saw the light, and he changed his diet to a more biblical diet. People come under the influence of these seducing spirits. I've got some good information here in the book on vegetarianism. It is a demonic teaching. Jesus is talking about fish here. He's talking about eggs. When he had the Passover, they had lamb. Jesus is not teaching vegetarianism. And especially bad today is the eating of soy. I have a section in the book on that. And all of this information I'll give you in the book, other places you can go on the web where you can further research these topics. But soy, a lot of times in this country, we've been taught that the Chinese have eaten it for years, you know, and it's so healthy, and you hear about all the good things. That's bologna, which is another unclean thing. In the Chinese language, if I remember, there were, I think it was five sacred grains. One of them, four of them, it showed the berry, the grain of four of them. The soy, it showed the plant. They didn't eat soy. For centuries, they didn't eat soy. They used the plant. They planted soy because it has the ability to bring nitrogen into the soil. They used it as a natural means of fertilization. They didn't eat it. It was centuries before they finally started fixing it in such a way, fermenting it, and using it in just small amounts, the Chinese. They don't eat it. But that's gotten a hold in the American market. Big industry has gotten a hold of that and pushed it and are convincing people, and even in the health food stores, that soy is so good. It's not. You read the statistics and the people that are suffering from soy, it's horrendous. Dr. Kayla Daniels wrote a big book investigating it. It's if any of you are interested, it's well worth reading. It tells the whole story and the science. But children that are eating soy are precocious. Girls are becoming, starting to have menstrual cycles at 8 years of age and develop breasts and develop way before their normal time. Boys, it's the opposite. They're being stunted. Their sexual organs are being stunted and not developing from soy. It's a horrible thing. And so you need to be aware of this because it's something that you can't go in a health food store today and not find it being pushed. Dr. Bragg, Paul Bragg, who I quote in my book, which helped his book on water, helped give me understanding on water. He's considered the father of the health food stores years ago. He'd roll over in his grave if he saw what was being sold in health food stores today. Health food stores are not all health food. There's a lot of junk in them because they are run many times by sinners like everyone else that are selling things in order to make money and to meet the desires of the customer, what they want. I've gone out of business with a lot of businesses because I never operated that. When I bought and sold, if it's something, when I learned if it wasn't good, I didn't sell it, period. I've had to get out of companies when I learned that. For instance, one of them, when I first came into this, I told you, I think last night, when I first came into it, I started taking food supplements. And one of the companies I was led to is a Christian company, and so I started handling their food supplements and getting others involved and using them, and I got some wonderful results. But after about 15 years, I noticed that I had the experience that I couldn't bend my knees. I always do push-ups and knee bends and so forth. I was doing every day. And I couldn't bend down without this terrible pain in my knee. Well, I was interviewing a Dr. Schmelzer every month. He was a MD that was into natural things, and one of the other radio programs I had was interviewing people. And so I interviewed him and got to know him, and I went to his office and found out that my calcium was out of balance. I had a hair analysis, a urine analysis, a blood test, And that same week, my wife's brother, we helped him get a job at a health food store there in town, brought him over from Manila, and he gave me a couple books on water, one by Dr. Paul Bragg and another one by N.W. Walker. And in these books, I learned that hard minerals cause a lot of problems in people's bodies. They both advocated distilled water. I used to sell distillers and RO, reverse osmosis. I've switched to reverse osmosis because they're almost as good and a whole lot cheaper. Distillers will run you just probably 25, 30 cents a gallon just for the electricity to make it, where an RO is less than a nickel a gallon. And it's simpler and easier, and it'll get probably 90% of your bad stuff out. It'll take all the fluoride out and things. Carbon filters do not take the real toxic things out of the water that you need. Both ROs, reverse osmosis, and distillers both use a carbon filter to take out the things that taste bad. But then they have the other process, either the reverse osmosis membrane that filters the water, or the distillation process where water is boiled and the steam goes over and recondenses. Both those methods give you much purer water. And those two doctors advocated distilled water. You're going to read about from certain people in the natural realm that distilled water is not good, that it takes out all the minerals. Well, that's true. But if you're eating properly, taking a food supplement and juicing, you're going to get your minerals back. And you want the bad ones out. That's the main thing. And so either one of those, distiller RO, is good, but ROs are a little less expensive and a lot less expensive to operate. But I learned from that my calcium was out of balance. And so I looked at the food supplement that I'd been taking for 15 years from this good Christian brother, Spirit-filled, Assembly of God brother, wonderful folks, you know, but the calcium came from oyster shell. Now, oyster shell is calcium carbonate. It's from an unclean source. And that happens to be the type of calcium that most supplements that you buy, that's the kind of calcium they use because it's cheap, very cheap. And the name of the game is money, isn't it? And I quit taking those food supplements, and within a week, my knee was healed, and I haven't had the problem since, and that was many years ago. So what was causing my aches and pains was the food supplement that I was taking. Now, later, the Lord showed me a scripture there, and I may have touched on that last night in Leviticus. I think it's there in Leviticus 11. Where it says here that in Leviticus 11:11, where these unclean things that don't have skins and scales, it says they shall be an abomination unto you. You shall not eat their flesh. That would be an oyster, crabs, shrimp, lobster. And then it adds, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Their carcasses. And here you see, I had been taking the carcass of these unclean oysters into my body because I had come into this health and recommended by the Christians and, you know, all these wonderful testimonies, and we were getting good results with these supplements. I was getting people healed from them, but 15 years, it caught up with me, you see. And I learned that lesson. Now, I wish when I shared that with the company, they'd have seen the light like I saw the light. But unfortunately, they didn't, and so I had to leave that company. Praise God. So if you're taking supplements, it's important to see what is the source of these vitamins and minerals. Recently, my wife and I, just this year, had the opportunity. We've been praying for many years to go over to Israel. I'd been there in 76 before I went on the radio the first time. And since we were married, we were praying to She'd never been there. So this year, the Lord worked it out. We went over for the Feast of Tabernacles this year. And it was interesting because one of the sisters with us was having knee problems, pain. And I'd taken a bottle of glucosamine and MSM with me. I didn't know exactly why I was taking it, but I thought, well, in case I have a problem, an ache or pain, I'll just throw it in, took it. But it turned out to be for her because she was, again, in another natural, what you think, food company, Shackley. Some of you, how many of you have heard of Shackley? But their food supplement, the calcium, is from an unclean source. And so I shared this truth with her that I just shared with you, and she got off that. I gave her these supplements, and her pain started going away. Hallelujah. So this is a very important issue of what kind of calcium you're taking. And in the book, I talk about the good calcium and the bad calcium. But dolomite is bad. You know, anything that's inorganic there, the minerals, you know. Coral calcium became very popular in the health food stores a few years ago. But that's calcium carbonate mixed in with some other things that the coral makes. And it will get to you sooner or later. I certainly don't recommend it. Because the scripture says, not only are you not to eat their flesh, but you're to have their carcasses in abomination. That's interesting, isn't it? Hallelujah. The Lord gives us these truths for our benefit, doesn't he? How many of you, since we prayed last night, anybody have a result already with Psalm 103? Verse 5, since we prayed, anybody notice a difference in their appetites or cravings since last night? Somebody was sharing with me today that somebody had a difference. I got one hand. Who's had a difference? Somebody. Anybody want to testify? Did you have a change already? Praise God. Amen. A victory. Hallelujah. God's good. Anybody else? Claim that scripture. Yeah. I can't hear you. Go ahead. Amen. It's important, you see, what goes in the mouth and what comes out of the mouth. Jesus is in one place, he's talking about what comes out of the mouth, what comes out of the heart, you see. Fornication, lying, deceiving, all these things defile the man. But he says what goes in the mouth. He's talking about bread in that portion of scripture. They were accusing him of eating bread, which is clean and good, with unwashed hands. And he says, that doesn't hurt you, because if there's a little dirt on your hands, it goes right through you. He says it goes into the stomach and out into the latrine. No problem. And then he said it's what comes out of the heart, what comes out of the mouth that's important. But people take that scripture and twist it and distort the meaning of what Jesus really said. I have a chapter in the book on that that goes into that, that I got enlightenment from a PhD nutritionist that understood that some translations twist the meaning of the Greek there and give it a completely different meaning according to their carnal thinking. But the King James is accurate. When he talks about purging the food, he's talking about whatever you eat going in your mouth, in your stomach, and out when you go to the toilet. He's not talking about food like eating an unclean food like pork. That doesn't go through you, you see. When you eat any food that's digestible, that goes into your flesh. That's digested, although pork takes hours to digest compared to beef and uses up extra enzymes and is very unhealthy in many ways, plus 50 diseases that you can get from eating pork, but it doesn't go through you. That scripture is not appropriate to things that are digested. That's talking about eating bread with unwashed hand. Dirt can go right through you. I'm sure if you, as a child, you all know children, they put things in them and it goes right through them, doesn't it? Amen. So we have to interpret these scriptures properly. Praise God. Father, we just want to come tonight and thank you that you've given us your word. You said, Lord, that we're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, we pray tonight that you'd help us tonight and in the days ahead to understand the scriptures as we read them, and that you'll give us a heart to obey, to walk in the light as you're in the light. And we're going to thank you for that. We're going to praise you for it. I'm going to maybe share one more scripture with you here. And this is in Romans. When Paul wrote the Romans, he tells us here what his apostolic calling and ministry was for. And he starts out this Romans letter by saying here, in Romans chapter 1, right after the introduction, he says, by whom, he's talking about, we've declared Jesus the Son of God, according to the Spirit of holiness, verse 4, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. Paul is saying that his apostleship and the grace that was given him was to bring about obedience of faith among all the nations. This is so important because if you go to the last chapter in the book of Romans, which is chapter 16, at the very end of the chapter, he says this, verse 26 and 7 are the last two verses, where he says, this is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made to all the nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So he starts out that wonderful long letter about obedience of faith, and he ends up with the same emphasis, the obedience of faith. We hear a lot of teaching today about faith, and it's not connected with obedience to the righteousness of God. And so a lot of people are wondering why it doesn't work. It doesn't work because if you women know, if you bake a cake and leave a few ingredients out, it's going to flop, right? The purpose of faith, for God giving you faith to believe something, is for you to obey something, to do something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, there's so much I could share, but maybe that's enough for tonight. I shared with you the first lesson. God determines what food is. We must learn that. I shared with you the four requirements there in Exodus 15, 26. Maybe I didn't go over Exodus 23, verse 25 and 26, which maybe I'll just touch on briefly. In Exodus, that day that God gave me that scripture, he had me read the New American Standard, which in the end of Exodus 15, it mentions about the date palms there, and it mentions date palms. Let me find it here. In the King James, it says 10 palm trees, but in the New American Standard that I was reading, it said date palms. And so I talked about food, and I was trying to find things in the scripture that dealt with food that day, so I kept reading. And when I got over to chapter 23, I started to shout because I read this scripture. We're reading from Exodus 23. He's saying that he's going to send his angels before us. We're to obey. And he says there's in verse 25, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. And the reason I got the shouting, I just finished reading a book on vitamin E, Key to a Healthy Heart, in which one of the major ingredients that's taken out of wheat when they refine it is vitamin E. This is a major deficiency in the American diet, and actually worldwide, because white flour used to be, first it was the delicacy of the wealthy, the rich, but then the poor people, they think, we want to be like the rich people, so then they start eating refined white flour. So it's a problem all over the world today. And God is saying here, though, if you serve Him, He's going to give you blessed bread. You're going to learn to eat bread with all 50 of those natural nutrients in it, you see. That's the way God intended it to be. And your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Notice what it says. Nothing shall cast their young. In other words, you're not going to have miscarriages. Nor be barren. You'll be able to conceive and have children. And the number of your days I will fulfill. You're not going to die prematurely, say, from heart disease. All three of those conditions are due to a lack of vitamin E in the American diet. I have seen people come to me, you know, couples that couldn't conceive. Get them on some good diet and a good food supplement, and they have children. The problem is nutritional in so many of these cases. And so I was really rejoicing that day because all those conditions depend upon the blessing of your bread and your water. And one of the blessings I've learned since I've come here is you've got water, haven't you? This is a ministry that God is supernaturally, from the testimony I've read, giving you some pure water that they tested, according to the article I read, that was the purest water in, I think it was 12 years that they tested in the state of Arkansas. Hallelujah. So, you want to drink that instead of the city water. If you look and find out what's in your city water, I'll almost guarantee you they got fluoride in there. And other chemicals. Chlorine is bad. Causes heart problems and other difficult diseases. Cancer. So, I don't know where you are in getting that on the market in small bottles, but we need to pray for that. You need to be able to get that water out and get God's people to have that readily available. Is that in the near future? Is that planned? Is that available? Do you know? Anybody know? Well, let's pray for that tonight. Amen? Before I close. Father, I just want to thank you that what I read, Brother Glenn, years ago, you gave him where that water was supposed to be. He put three rocks on a pile, and he told the people that were the geologists, the people that were supposed to know about water, that that's where the water was, and they all said there's no water there. But he was following your Holy Spirit. And he told them to drill there. And they got water, and they couldn't believe it. He says, there it is. You have to believe. It was coming up out of the ground, about 30-some inches, I think it was. Lord, we just thank you for that answer to prayer. It reminds us when Moses struck the rock and brought water out of a rock and fed water to a couple million people years ago. Lord, you've brought this water. We pray that you'll bring it to the market in such a way that it'll be a blessing to this camp and to the ministry that you've raised up here. We pray that you'll remove every hindrance, whatever's hindering, whether it's, I don't know what it is, Lord, whether it's lack of finances, time, I don't know what it is, Lord, but I pray that you remove every hindrance from getting this on the market and bringing this blessing to your people in all the ways that you can use it. I pray in Jesus' name, and I rebuke you, devil, to stop hindering in any way, in Jesus' name. We sang tonight, you're under our feet. Amen? You're under our feet. Take your hands off this artesian water in every respect. Lord, make everything about it, the way it's to be distributed, people involved, everything about it, Lord, might it bring glory to you and health to your people. We ask in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank you for it. Amen. 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 Let's all stand up and we'll dismiss in prayer. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for all of us gathering in your house tonight. And I thank you for your word. I thank you if some of these things are maybe a little hard to hear, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I just pray for all of us gathered here tonight, every one of us, my wife and I and all these wonderful people. God, we pray that you will bring us, as Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, that you would sanctify us completely, that our whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus, which we believe is not too far off. We thank you, Lord. We ask this in his name and for his sake and his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
This is the end of this message.